Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
The 2020 NBA draft is in the... Wait, I didn't even introduce myself. Hold on.
I'm tired, buddy.
This should be the open. Like, just keep it. Let it roll.
Welcome to a Silver Screen and Roll podcast. I'm Christian Rivas, joined by Anthony Irwin on the night of the 2020 NBA draft. Anthony Edwards went first overall to the Minnesota Timberwolves. This is the first time I haven't cared about the top of the draft in quite some time. Like, yeah. Last year, there was some level of interest because the Lakers technically, like, they had already traded the pick, but a part of me still wanted to see somebody put on a Lakers hat on. I think DeAndre Hunter's the one that got that awkward picture of him in a Lakers hat, only to be traded by the Hawks.
Yeah. Lakers legend DeAndre Hunter.
But yeah, you know, the draft is always pretty fun. Get to see the future stars of the league. But first, before we get into any of that, how are you doing today, Anthony?
You know, I can't complain. I found myself enjoying the draft a little bit more, seeing guys with their family. Like, I was made really nervous because so many people were packed into all of these draft parties. Like, that made me very, very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But in general, though, I think I found myself enjoying the you know, not being in Barclays Center and watching these guys. Like, I think it led to a lot more emotion. Like, you notice right. A lot more people, a lot more of these guys, you know, getting teared up or full on crying. And I think that had a lot to do with the fact that, like, they were home and they were sitting there with, like, all of their family and their friends in ways that you can't quite do when you're at Barclays Center. And I really enjoyed it like this. I don't think the NBA is going to make this a habit, but I wouldn't be mad if they did.
Yeah, I think, like, the whole thing about having it at Barclays and that whole setting is just everybody feels too cool to cry or just isn't comfortable in a not intimate setting. I definitely really enjoyed it. I only got emotional one time during the night, and it was because somebody from Chino Hills got drafted, Onyeka Okongwu.
Oh, it wasn't, you weren't torn up about the Ball family?
No, they have, by all accounts, they've had a pretty good life. But no, Onyeka Okongwu, who went sixth overall to the Atlanta Hawks. His older brother was a friend of mine. I met him when I was in sixth grade. He was at least a foot taller than me, but I always used to call him my little buddy just because he was a mammoth.
It's like those, I love those ironic nicknames, right? Like, Tiny in the movies is always like the giant dude.
Right. Yeah. So that's exactly what it was. Then we went to junior high together. He obviously, for being tall and just for being like a really cool person, started hanging out in different circles than me just because people liked him more. I don't blame them. But yeah, he was a very nice fellow. And unfortunately, he passed away. Boy, I want to say 4 or 5 years ago now, and they did a little tribute to him on ESPN. I thought that was really nice, seeing the way he reacted to getting drafted and being surrounded with his family, a good family by all accounts, was really nice. So that's the only time I got really emotional. Obviously, everybody has there's stories that make them interesting on draft night. ESPN has the little profiles they do, but I thought that was nice. So quick shout out to the Okongwu family and Chino Hills. I claim Chino, but I reside in Chino Hills. So I'll take it.
Well, I mean, like anytime somebody that close goes pro, right? Like it happens a lot more often in like the Chino and Chino Hills area than like where I grew up. I think Esperanza has produced, my high school has produced one professional basketball player. And it's that Casey guy who went to Stanford, right?
Oh, okay.
He's not even good. so it's kind of you that connection is obviously cool. What do you think about the way that ESPN covers like the tragedy? I get made very uncomfortable by it.
Yeah, it's a little bit like American Idol where they have them tell like their, like, I don't want to minimize them to sob stories because they are very sad.
Like,
but
yeah, like things actually happen.
It is a little strange. But you know, I there's a human aspect to basketball. But the non-sad story that I found really interesting, and I don't want to get this wrong, I believe it was Patrick Williams who worked at a flower shop and was giving tips on how to keep flowers cool and fresh for delivery. I thought that was awesome. Yeah. Any NBA prospect that worked at a flower shop and put the work in is probably going to have a long career in the NBA. So congratulations to the Chicago Bulls. You got yourself a stud.
We actually like the term that the kids use, right? The phrase that the kids use, like, you better give him his flowers. It's actually appropriate here.
right.
Hello, fellow young people. But yeah, I just think like for these kids, and ESPN did this with the NFL draft too, where it's the tears that these kids are crying. There's obviously like in the case of Onyonwu, is that how you say it?
Okongwu. It's Onyeka Okongwu.
There you go. So in that case, like where he lost a brother, obviously, like that's something that is, you know, is going through his mind. And there's some sad tears mixed in there. But for the most part, all these guys are like crying happy tears.
Yeah.
Like these are legitimate dreams being accomplished. And you're on the verge of wealth that you never thought possible when you were growing up. And, you know, personally, if you're gonna go like human element there, I would like maybe not in growing up with SNL, they had the Debbie Downer thing,
right?
And you know, personally, I would maybe err on the side of, hey, let's like try to get this guy to laugh, or like really like all the emotions that are going through your mind. Let's not immediately dive into the sad stuff. Like, adversity is obviously important, and it's a crucial factor in like every good story, but like we can just say like, hey, what are you gonna, you know, what's the first thing you're gonna do with your first NBA contract? Like, what are your thoughts on like your new teammates and stuff like that? Like, we're, you know, those are the kinds of things that you could. It's not even that I'm telling ESPN like only ask those questions, but mix them in every so often.
They're
like this close to asking about like the Red Wedding and all your status moments watching movies and stuff. I just think, you know, we can mix this up a little bit and offer some levity to it as well.
What is this, your saddest moment watching movies? I feel like I know the answer because you tweeted about it a whole bunch, but I'll let you answer.
Well, I mean, like Coco gets me every freaking time. It doesn't help that, so not Mama Coco. Like she's obviously, I had a great, great grandma that I met when I was like 6 years old on my mom's side. So she technically would maybe look like Mama Coco, but the grandma, Coco's daughter, is like a freaking clone of my grandma.
Yeah.
And so like when she tears up and she's like, you know, that moment. Yeah. Now you see, now I got goosebumps. Now I'm thinking about it. You're like, you're asking me like I'm going to the pros or something like that. Do you have one like that? Or is that,
you know, yeah, Coco got me. That's probably the last movie I got. Oh, you know what? Weird, but like also understandable is the closing scene to Avengers Endgame. Is the last movie that made me shed a tear. I did not get emotional the first time I watched it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to get too sappy. My girlfriend's going to hate this, but like at the end of Endgame, the second time I saw it with my girlfriend, cause she couldn't make it the first night. Just seeing like him dance with Peggy and just like have this happily ever after, the yeah. song that's being played, the fade to black. I'm mm-hmm. with my girlfriend. I kid you not, a single tear came uh-huh. down my face, and I was like, what is going on? Why is this happening? But that's probably the last movie I cried at.
Yeah, I'm a baby. Like I'll just come out and say it. Like throughout Endgame, right, where like Happy tells his daughter right. like he liked hamburgers. Like I was like, oh my god, he did like hamburgers.
Yeah.
so yeah, but yeah, I just think like, you know, yes, man, just throw some like have some fun there. Like yeah. the analysts are pretty good about this. Like they gave Mark Davis a standing ovation. Like that was a funny moment. Like I enjoyed that. Like have some fun with it. Have a little bit more fun than like just immediately diving into the worst moments in some of these people's lives during their best moments right. of their life.
Right. Yeah. I don't know if this happens at Barclays, but anytime Mark Tatum walks to the stage, I feel like he should get a standing ovation for sure.
Somebody tweeted today that Draft Express is Woj's Mark Tatum.
That's a good one. I like that. That got me. We're going to take a quick break and then we're going to recap everything that happened in the draft. So we mentioned Anthony Edwards going number one overall to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Rounding at the top five was James Wiseman, who will go to the Warriors. They're obviously in the news, but we'll get to that. The Charlotte Hornets drafted LaMelo Ball. Mm-hmm. So Michael Jordan and LaVar Ball will, I'm hoping, play one-on-one for charity. As we mentioned, the Bulls drafted Patrick Williams, and the Cleveland Cavaliers drafted Isaac Okoro. Of those five teams, who do you think improved immediately with their pick or has the potential to see the most turnaround with the pick they made?
I don't know. I think they all tie for a second, right? Like, I don't... So even in a normal draft, like even in a Zion draft, Zion doesn't necessarily help you win that first year, right? And so this is not a normal year in that it doesn't have a star like that. Now, like I really like Wiseman a lot, especially given the kind of role that he's going to be asked to play.
Right.
I think of the positive impacts, just given the situation, I think he has the best opportunity in terms of what's going to be asked of him and what he's capable of doing as a rookie in fitting in. I don't think he's going to win rookie of the year because he's going to have a smaller role, but I prefer my rookies to have a smaller role. So I think he's somebody that I'm really happy where he wound up. LaMelo is interesting in that, like, you know, does this mean Terry Rozier is on his way out? Does this mean, you know, there was some talk that Minnesota wanted to swap 1 and 3 and then bring over Michael Bridges. And I would have loved that move for Minnesota and for Charlotte, you know. So, yeah, I think this draft isn't very good by all accounts. I'm not even saying this as a draft expert. I've just been hearing nonstop that the top end of this draft is something that nobody really wanted anything to do with. And because of that, I don't think anybody got significantly better. What do you think?
Yeah, I think obviously James Wiseman has the potential to make the biggest impact right away. The guard rotation in Minnesota is so interesting to me because obviously the Timberwolves traded for Ricky Rubio. Welcome back. I'm always happy to see Rubio in a Timberwolves jersey, especially the jerseys they dropped earlier today. I think he's going to look great. The bun, the beard. He's just glowed up since the last time he was in Minnesota. Obviously have D'Angelo Russell. Now have Anthony Edwards. And then Malik Beasley is a restricted free agent. Like, I have no idea what's going to go on there, but there's going to be a lot of talent at both guard spots and not a lot of playing time. I think James Wiseman will probably be a spark plug of sorts off the bench, which is good because from what it sounds like, he can't stay focused for an entire game because he doesn't like watching basketball.
That's what I look for in my number one overall pick. Doesn't like basketball is a box that I really want checked off.
I mean, yeah, that's just insane to me. LaMelo Ball, the Devontae Graham LaMelo Ball backcourt is going to be interesting. I think LaMelo Ball absolutely needs to have the ball in his hands to make an impact. And why wouldn't you want to have the ball in his hands? He's a really, really, really talented playmaker. Like all the nice stuff you say about Lonzo Ball in terms of him being a passer, you can say about LaMelo Ball, except LaMelo Ball's passes are a little more showboaty, I guess.
Yeah.
And he has the potential to be like an actual three-level scorer in the NBA, which can't say the same about Lonzo. They both have funky jump shots. LaMelo's isn't as funky.
He might be a one level. Like we're not positive we can say Lonzo is a one level scorer. I mean, let alone shot a
decent percentage from behind the 3-point line. So I'll give him that. But yeah, mid range at the rim. Yeah, I'll reserve my thoughts. It's funny though, because you brought up a good point. When you look at the top of the draft, it's not exactly deep. Outside of those three, I liked Onyeka, and not just because of the hometown tie. Outside of those, like four, I was not in love with this draft class. That being said, as you get towards the end of the draft and you're not looking for a franchise changer, there are some like really good names available. I really like the Josh Green pickup by the Mavericks. I think he can be that 3-and-D guy they need. I know they traded for Josh Richardson. I also loved that pickup. That was awesome for them. The 76ers picking up Tyrese Maxey, more of an upside play than a ready contributor. But I mean, again, another really great pickup. And then for some reason, I don't know why, but Desmond Bain fell to 30th to the Celtics. Like, what are we doing?
I don't think he's a Celtic. I think he's with Memphis.
Oh, wait, traded to the Grizzlies. You're right.
Yeah. I would have been pissed if he went to Boston. No, then, they went with the white guy instead. They, like, really on-brand move there at Boston. Well done.
And then the Kings, if you can believe it, had the steal of the night, getting Xavier Tillman Sr. at the 35th pick. I don't know what other teams were doing, but even more shocking than the fact that he fell was the fact that the Kings made the right decision by drafting him.
Yeah.
Like, the same can be said of Tyrese Halliburton. Like, they got a few steals of the draft. Actually, hold on. Xavier Tillman Sr. was traded to the Grizzlies. They drafted Robert Woodard with the 40th, which is still a good pick.
Yeah, but that was somebody I wanted the Lakers to buy, especially when he fell all the way to 40. Yeah. That was somebody I really had an eye on because he's a wing, and if you can pick up a wing at that stretch of the draft, then I think you really have to get in there. I'm kind of interesting. I have a theory that Fertitta really kind of screwed up everybody trying to buy a pick because he spent 4.6 mil on a second rounder, and now like that became the expectation for everybody holding a second rounder. I think that kind of screwed over the Lakers because that was a spot, especially at that 40 spot where they normally would have bought in. But Pete and I, we talked about this on Locked On Lakers, that because of how non-traditional this scouting period was, that it might just be that the Lakers weren't comfortable spending any money on a pick that they didn't get to scout the way that they normally would be able to.
Yeah. So I think that is a fair assessment. I also think a part of the Lakers' inactivity in the draft, and probably the inactivity we'll see in undrafted free agency too, is the fact that they already have a two-way slot committed to Devontae Kaycock. And, you know, if Kostas doesn't sign the Supermax this offseason, I fully expect them... Did I say Kostas?
Yeah, I was going to say really high on Kostas.
Well, I mean, we'll see how next season goes, but sorry.
Yeah.
If Giannis is not signed the Supermax.
A max two-way. Like
this offseason, Kostas will probably be back. So as nice as it is to think about like the Lakers finding another Alex Caruso, which I don't doubt that they will. That the draft guys they have there are fantastic. I think Talen Horton Tucker is going to be a real contributor. Devontae Kaycock has an opportunity to soak up backup center minutes whenever.
Yeah, he'll play the JaVale role, like when he's available with the team,
right?
With a bigger team,
so yeah, we'll see what happens. I don't want to say the Lakers won't sign anybody. I still have no idea what's going to happen with the G League, but yeah, we'll see what happens. But overall, a pretty interesting draft night. And now we look ahead to free agency, and the Lakers, I think made their biggest splash of the offseason. Mm-hmm. By trading for Dennis Schroeder, which became available or became official Wednesday night. You and I have not had the chance to talk about the Dennis Schroeder trade. Mm-hmm. Now that it is done, now that we know that there is no third team involved, the Lakers won't be getting any more assets from any teams. What do you think about the value that the Lakers got and how Schroeder can help this team?
Well, I think it's important to understand that, like, this wasn't, no deal gets made in a vacuum, right? Like, I think there's a case to be made that if it was just this trade with no understanding that they are going to replace Danny Green in some way, shape, or form, that I'd be nervous, right? Like, if they don't find somebody to fill that Danny Green role, like Wesley Matthews is the guy that, you know, immediately floated to the surface that they're interested in right after the report of the trade being agreed to. I don't think that was a coincidence. I think Rob Pelinka probably kind of canvassed the league, saw who he had a shot at to replace Green, and then pulled the trigger on this one. And yeah, if you think about it in the context that I think it went down, I think it's a home run deal for the Lakers. I really like the pickup, especially if Schroeder's shooting from last year was not an outlier, you know, which it was a high enough jump to where you'd be nervous that it might be an outlier, right? Like the Kuzma's rookie season appears to be an outlier, right? Because we saw that kind of drop, you know, but I would rather pick up somebody who, even if he regresses by a couple percentage points, is going to be shooting 36% from 3-point range. And he's going to get, like, I know there was some concern from people who wanted to be down on the trade that, you know, well, you got to look at his numbers on and off with Chris Paul. And it's like, well, okay, swap out Chris Paul for LeBron James. I think he's going to be fine in that regard. So I think in terms of fit, he's basically playoff Rondo on a more nightly basis.
Yes.
I'm fine with that.
I think you are absolutely right in saying that. I think he will... I mean, assuming he's the same player he's been all season with the Lakers and not this super Nova version of him that he was with the Thunder. Don't know if he'll be playing 30 minutes per game with the Lakers. He certainly has the talent to, but it goes back to, is he a fit with LeBron James? There was a report that LeBron James has had his eye on him for a little while and wanted to play with him. So, you know, Frank will try it. I think the real value of Schroeder is the nights when LeBron James is going to get a little extra rest, which we expect there to be a lot of to begin the season because of how quickly it's starting back up. And I think, assuming the Lakers are done making trades, which I think is a pretty safe assumption, I think Schroeder can unlock something in that second unit that Rondo couldn't just because of the type of the player he was. Hopefully that unlocks somebody like Kyle Kuzma, assuming he's still on the roster when the season begins. The backcourt of Rondo and Caruso was a lot better than I gave Frank credit for at the beginning of the season. They ended up working out great. And if Caruso can take a leap from behind the 3-point line, that move looks even better. The area I'm most interested in seeing now is that replacement, like you said, because wing defense is still important. Mm-hmm. They're obviously hoping to bring back Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and honestly, I'd be shocked if they didn't. But outside of Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, you're either looking at Wesley Matthews on the veterans minimum or Avery Bradley on a longer, possibly more expensive contract than he made last season. Between those two options, which would you rather have?
Matthews for sure. He's a more consistent shooter and he's bigger.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Because I think, like, if you look at the kind of defenders that, or the kind of defender that Avery Bradley is, Schroeder does a lot of that stuff, right? The pesky on ball stuff, really utilizing wingspan to bother guys at around his size. What Wesley Matthews offers is what the Lakers are going to be directly missing with Green's departure. You know, you think about it like this. You watch Anthony Davis in those playoffs where somebody smaller than Davis was guarding him, and you could just see, especially now because NBA.com kind of upgraded their replay choice, I guess. But you can see it when he's releasing the ball, those smaller guys weren't in his line of sight at all. And you kind of saw it with KCP trying to guard Kawhi, not Kanye, trying to guard Kawhi, where Kawhi would rise up and he just didn't see KCP anywhere there. And I think when you have somebody about Wesley Matthews' size and his ability to be physical, that's where the Lakers really need to be able to replace Green. And like, I wish Avery Bradley well. I apparently have to wish JaVale McGee well because he's getting ready to opt out, which really surprises me. Yeah,
that's weird.
I kind of wonder, like, Harrison has been on this quite a bit where he's saying that, you know, this has a lot to do with them not wanting to opt in to just be trade chips, yeah. Right?
I think that's correct.
So I think, you know, they're willing to take a potential financial hit to be able to choose the situation that they play in next year, which, you know, that's their prerogative. But it still surprises me that they're giving up money for that. I'm fine with it. It probably helps the Lakers, but those are two decisions that kind of baffled me when I heard about them.
Yeah, I fully expected JaVale to be back, but. Again, to your point, I expected him to be traded as soon as he opted in. So, yeah. Who knows what'll happen there? He could be James Wiseman's mentor in Golden State, run it back. But yeah, I agree with the points you made there. I think the biggest question for me right now is if that Milwaukee-Sacramento trade actually falls through, which has been reported, it's the most insane, like, from the way it's being reported right now, it sounded like the Bucks and Kings talked and the Kings were like, oh yeah, why wouldn't Bogdanovich want to play with Giannis Antetokounmpo and on a contender? Like, that's an absolute no-brainer. Go ahead and tell your people that this is all. I'm gonna go talk to him. We'll get this done as soon as possible. And then Bogey was like, you did what? Do you know how sign and trades work, Monty McNair?
See, like, that situation is so ridiculous that I don't think that's what it is.
Yeah. I mean, and if it's not, this is the most elaborate way I've ever seen anybody avoid a tampering fine in my life. And,
yeah,
you know, say what you will about maybe the way they handled it, maybe the way the Kings front office dialed it back after all of this leaked. But if you're a Kings fan and they went through all of that to avoid a tampering fine, you say, this is an upgrade over Vlade. This is everything I wanted as a Kings fan.
I guess. It kind of reminds me of, I think it was the Clippers. They made some move that they thought was agreed on already, and they leaked that the move was done, and it pissed off the other team that they were dealing with, and the other team said, nope, we take it back. We don't want to make this trade anymore. And it was like the most Clippers thing to happen at that time. Cause it was still the, racist donor era, whose name Sterling. It was still that era where the Clippers were still a joke, and it was the most predictable thing. With this, I kind of feel like it's, I'll just say that it wouldn't shock me if we saw this trade go through.
Yeah.
Once it's allowed. My question though is like whether the league is actually going to let it go through, right?
Probably they'll slap him on the wrist, give him a fine.
Well, I know Chad Ford on the live stream for Locked On tonight said that the league would consider taking away a pick or not allowing the trade to go down at all because it's such a blatant like disregard for tampering rules. So I personally think it's something that the league should stop even like pretending to care about. You know, I just think you let it go. At this point, the cat's out of the bag, the toothpaste is out of the tube. But you know, if they are going to pretend to care about it, then this trade probably can't happen. So, like, maybe it is a situation that you're talking about where the Kings management just didn't understand how a sign and trade worked, that they thought like they could sign Bogey and trade him, right. Not like Bogey would sign, agree to go there and then allow himself to be a part of a trade. Which like is, it's so bafflingly stupid that I can't believe that that's actually what happened. But it's either that or they tampered and they're going to try to announce this deal. And I kind of wonder if the league steps in and says like, so wait, what? You did tamper then after all. That's what we're talking about here. And then another question I have is for like all of the journalists and all of the people covering these teams who are now like just voicing the explanation for this, like if this trade does go through, I'm going to look sideways at these journalists who are like reporting this trade now that like they're saying is got hung up by whatever. If it goes through, I'm going to say like, oh, so you just unquestioningly, there you yes. go. And you know, just echoed what these guys are saying without ever like being skeptic about the fact that this might just be a play to avoid a tampering fine. Like that, the whole situation is wild to me. Like there's no way everybody walks away from this completely clean.
Yeah. But if you're a Lakers fan, you have to be hoping that the trade does go through, because I think if that trade falls apart, Milwaukee probably turns to Wesley Matthews and says, hey,
yeah,
we have open spot at shooting guard again next to Drew Holiday. You guys are going to make a pretty menacing defensive backcourt. What do you say? So yeah, I don't know what's going to happen. It's going to be an interesting few months. Do you have any predictions?
A few days.
Oh, right. you're telling me we're not in June, that the season doesn't start in October.
Jesus. I was thinking like while I was watching all of these draft day parties at the prospect's house, like these guys are going to have to quarantine immediately, like in order to be at camp in 14 days or whatever insane number we're talking about. Like these guys aren't going to have enough time to quarantine from having like the Balls had like 50 people in their house today. Yeah. that seems like a bit of a risk heading into next season, but yeah, we're already there.
Apartment shopping has to be done in like 14 days.
As somebody who's done that, that sucks. Like having to get that done in so quick a time.
Oof. That, yeah. So best of luck to everybody. Should be fun. I expect the Lakers to bring a lot of guys back. Who knows what's going to happen with the mid-level exception. But yeah, we should see a fun Lakers team. Anthony, thank you for joining me. Talk about the draft for a little bit and also talk about crying at movies. we will hear from all of us next week.